Big shout out to our amazing sponsors, Outlaw Distillery. Looking for exceptional spirits to elevate your taste buds? Well, look no further than Outlaw Distillery. With their extraordinary spice rum and honey bourbon gracing the shelves of liquor stores, your drinking experience is about to reach new heights. And here's the best part. Outlaw Distillery is opening its doors to all you adventurous souls. Join the tour and step inside the lair where the magic happens. From the art of distillation to the secrets behind their mouth-watering recipes, this is a chance to witness craftsmanship at its finest. Here's a little something extra for our family. Outlaw Distillery is offering an incredible 40% discount on all tours. Just use the code FAMILY when booking your visit to the Spirited Haven. It's an experience you will not want to miss. Not only does Outlaw Distillery excel in crafting top-notch spirits, but they also believe in giving back to their community. So, if you're ready to taste the adventure and embrace the allure of finely crafted spirits, head to your nearest liquor store and grab a bottle of Outlaw Distillery. And remember, the best is yet to come when you step inside Outlaw Distillery with the exclusive Framily discount. Cheers to thrilling libations and unforgettable memories. See you at Outlaw. Shout out to our sponsors, King's Peak Coffee Roasters. At King's Peak, they take coffee seriously. Their beans are sourced with utmost care from sustainable farms worldwide, ensuring that each sip is a celebration of exquisite flavors. From captivating blends to captivating single origin roasts, their coffee selection promises to tantalize your taste buds and elevate your coffee game to new heights. King's Peak staff embodies the spirit of hospitality and passion for coffee. With smiles that brighten your day, they're always ready to guide you on an unforgettable coffee journey. From bean selection to brewing techniques, their knowledgeable baristas will happily share their expertise to help you find your perfect cup. King's Peak is committed to making a positive impact on the entire coffee supply chain. With every purchase, you're supporting farmers and artisans, enabling sustainable practices and empowering communities around the globe. Together, we're nurturing a brighter, more inclusive future for everyone involved. Whether you're a coffee aficionado or a curious newcomer, King's Peak is your welcoming sanctuary. Explore their wide array of coffees, accessories, and gifts, and let King's Peak help you find the perfect fit for your unique taste. They're not just a coffee shop, but a community that embraces the joy of coffee and human connection. Join us at King's Peak Coffee Roasters, where coffee dreams come true. You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, family, we are here at HK Brewing Collective, and yoga just happened. We just missed, I mean, we saw yoga.
Saw some yoga.
Yoga just happened. HK is now thriving, bumping, and I'm here with one of my dear friends, Mr. Bradley Judge. Bradley, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Dave. It's good to be here.
I've been looking forward to this one because I'm not going to lie. I don't get nervous a lot. I don't get anxiety for asking people, reaching out to people to say, hey, can you, you know, come out or talk to an individual? Like, hey, come on the show. I want to showcase to you. But I kind of nervous a little bit when I reached out to you because you do something in the brewing aspect, in the beer world, in the industry that I don't know well. So... Brad, you work at Squires and Wasatch.
Yeah.
And you are the PM lead packaging chef, right?
Right.
So where I work currently, I have a bottle machine. We have a bottle machine, forehead filler. It's Canadian. It's okay. It does the job. But I've had, as a team, we've had issues with oxidation and packaging issues.
Right.
You guys, I can have... you know, Juicy or Our Share or Devastator or whatever, and I can have it not just in the pub or a tavern or wherever. I can have it at my places of drinking, right? And it's going to taste the same, and it won't taste like dog shit.
Any can, any keg, anywhere you get it.
Yeah, and I think you are overlooked as an employee, as a part of our family, because I'm going to say it straight up, I think brewers are kind of the sex appeal I think they get this high and mighty kind of flame behind them with, you know, eagles, you know, and it's
American
cool.
American
flag. Yeah, yeah, exactly. We're like the Brewers are kind of like, yeah, the Sex Pills, I say.
Yeah.
But I think it overshadows the rest of the team, the salesmen and women, the sales reps, the seller people, you know, cold side, and packaging. Because you were telling me that earlier that baton gets passed, okay?
Yeah.
And if someone drops that baton at all, or even like mishandles the baton, that beer that was made, or that concept, or that passion is fucked up. It's fucked. Period. It's just not the same.
Right.
I think one of my favorites, Mr. Kevin Templin, told me one of my favorite quotes is, for me, he goes, "Why should the last 5 minutes of a beer be served in a shitty glass?" Right. So for me, it's like, yeah, you're right. Why? Because you worked so hard on this.
Yeah.
So the last 5 minutes of it's being its consumption to the customer, it's going to be just, we worked so hard on this, and then here we go.
Yeah.
So you have to do with this. You're part of this. You're part of that baton handling that gets overlooked. You're at a big producer. So I know I'm jumping into what's going on, but Brad, hello.
Hi.
I've done all the talking. I apologize, but tell me about what you do at Squires and Wasatch specifically.
Excuse me. So we will take over with finished product, perfect beer, ready to go into a keg or a can, and then run it through a series of machines that gets it into can or keg, boxes, and down the finish line. But every step of the way, we're doing quality checks that make sure that the fill level on the can is at the ideal level, getting the minimum waste out of each batch, making sure that the CO2 and O2 levels in the beer and in the can are just right where you want it so that it doesn't oxidize over the next month while
right.
It sits in your fridge and end up tasting like ass.
So you're telling me that it still oxidizes even though it's cold, for those who don't know?
I mean, it takes a little bit longer, but sure, yeah. If there's additional O2 in the can, it's going to get into the beer eventually. It doesn't matter if you keep it on your roof or in a freezer, eventually that O2 is getting in there.
Yeah. And you got to maintain that level.
Yeah.
And so you're checking, you're not just packaging it and putting it into cans or kegs, but you're testing it along the way as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We test constantly throughout our run. At least once every 15, 20 minutes, we pull a couple of cans off the line, run them through a series of machines that test the CO2 and O2 levels.
So what's what do you like more of, CO2 or O2 in beer?
Oh, the CO2s. I mean, it's complicated. You want as little O2 in the can as possible. CO2, obviously you want your beer carbonated to the right level. Overcarbonation can cause a lot of problems on a canning line and increase the amount of waste that we deal with to a very frustrating point. But there's a big trend with a lot of beers right now trying to get as much carbonation in there, get that effervescent CO2
that
quality.
Sparkly, yeah. Sexy tingle. I've used sexy way too much today, and I apologize.
Don't worry about it. Everything's sexy to me. It's fine. But yeah, I mean, especially with higher point beers, for whatever reason, additional CO2 in the beer causes some weird problems, at least on the canning line that I'm used to working with. We get a lot of beers boiling over and just going crazy as they move across that line. It's a weird balancing act. You do want all those fun high point beers to have the right CO2 level and get crazy wild in your mouth sometimes, but you want to be able to put them in a can and not have so much trash that
yeah,
you're wasting all that
tough
beer. It's
I like that word
fun
you said, the balancing act, juggling act. Yeah. Like, yeah, it seems like could be a nightmare if someone doesn't do their job correctly.
Yeah. Well, and we work with a 20-head filler at Squatters Wasatch. It's a really fun machine, but it's complicated as all hell. And there are so many different settings that even 2 years in, I'm just learning about. And trying to operate at a high enough speed that we can can 100,000 cans in a day and not have anyone
Jesus
having to stay late.
Yeah.
And still keeping quality high is something that I don't know. We try our best. Sometimes we're barely riding that threshold of O2 in the can just barely passing our quality standards. Sometimes it's well below, and I still don't know why. I still don't know why.
Gotcha. So let's back up a little bit. So you've been on this for 2 years. Is this your first beer gig, or is this your This is your first beer gig.
I've had a lot of random side jobs, a lot of cool jobs, but this is my first job in the brewing industry, and this is the industry I'm going to finish in.
With all due respect, Riley, how old are you right now?
I'll be 35 in November.
Okay, so you're a young pup. What jobs have you done prior to?
A lot of security. I worked as a computer technician's assistant for a very short amount of time. I was in the Army National Guard just out of high school. Worked in the food service industry, in kitchens.
Just everywhere?
Just all over the place.
So then let's back up even more. Where are you from?
I spent most of my life living in Idaho, between Idaho Falls and Boise. I was born in California, but left when I was still an infant. Visited a lot with family. Love California, but
Idaho's
most of
home,
my
huh?
life, yeah.
Oh, I guess the raising ground.
Yeah.
OG. So how long have you been in Utah then?
I went to high school in Ogden, but I've been living in Salt Lake for about the last 5 years now, I think.
You liking it?
Now that I'm in the brewing industry.
Nice. So how did you come across the brewing industry?
My brother, he used to work as a chemical engineer for a lab, made great money, had great benefits, but was miserable. Hmm. And then he was a home brewer just for hobby, had a bunch of friends that were involved in that. And he enjoyed it so much that he knew he would probably enjoy a job in that industry. So he took a chance, applied at Squatters Wasatch, was there for a little less than a year when, I told him how miserable I was doing what I'd been doing. And he said, apply. I got the job. And he's now still with the collective, the Canarchy Collective, but working at the Oscar Blues facility out in Brevard, North Carolina.
Oh, that's really cool. Have you been out there?
I haven't yet.
Oh,
I need
sick.
To go
that sounds really fun.
So bad.
You should, man.
It's pretty cool. We've got mutual friends that work throughout the collective. We get to stay in touch and brag about each other's accomplishments.
I love that, man. I wish I had a blood family that I could say that with. You know what I mean? It'd be really cool. I was telling my wife the other day, I was joking about this. Eventually, if we ever had kids, I wish those younglings would come and inherit my skills of being a brewer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think if my wife and I were ever have kids, I'm gonna bring the kids as I'm brewing and be like, hey, go throw some malt in, some hops in. That just would just light my day, to see some of our friends in the industry that have family and work with the family. It's like, man, that must be cool. That's not envy, but like a hell yeah. Fuck yeah. That's really cool you got in the industry that way. 2 years ago, you said.
Yeah, a little over 2 years ago.
Let's back it up right around that time. So did you like beer? Did you enjoy beer?
Oh, of course. I liked drinking as much as any,
20-year-old?
20 to 30-year-old would, absolutely. Beer was never my preference. Weed has always been my go-to.
Okay.
And if I was aiming for just getting drunk, I love a good couple shots of tequila.
Yeah.
But, sipping a beer with some family or friends, trying to get a nice mellow buzz, there's something almost primal about it. It goes back for humans tens of thousands of years. It's the best feeling.
Yeah.
But I, kind of like we were talking about earlier, I had never tasted a beer brewed with love before I got into the craft brewing industry. And even a beer that's not your style. I've never been into the IPA kick. I know everybody loves IPAs.
How dare you, damn you.
I love the darker, roasty or maltier beers and some good golden and blonde ales. But, there's a big difference between a mass-produced IPA with absolutely no love, or any beer that isn't your style, and then a craft beer brewed with someone's love and passion in it. Even if it's not your thing, you taste their passion. It's really, you know, grandma's joked about making cookies with love for hundreds of years. They weren't lying. They weren't joking.
No, you're right.
You taste the damn difference.
Like, how many people have you met and to this day that you go and be like, oh, my grandma makes the best this. I'm mm-hmm. like, bitch, my grandma makes the best this. And so, you know, like, yeah. But why? Why does your grandma make it? Because of love.
Absolutely.
And it's
the real secret ingredient, no matter how cliche it sounds. Yeah, because
everyone says that beer is made with four ingredients. Water, hops, malt, yeast. But everyone forgets the fifth one, that love and passion.
Yeah.
It's right there, man.
Oh, and there are unfortunately brewers out there that hate what they do, and you can taste it. It just tastes like another damn lager.
Damn.
But you can taste when they love what they're doing, and they really put the passion into it.
Man, I don't know why, Bradley, but that comment stung, man, because there's been times when myself or my team, or I've seen others where they're just doing it to do it, and I'm like, dude, why are you doing it then? You know, I would rather hold off a brew day. If you're having a bad day, if you're bringing stuff into work, you know, let's say you have, you know, an emotional day, or you're having a family issue or a spouse issue or whatever, and you're going to bring it to work, unless you can legit leave it at the door, man, just, I'd rather you brew another day.
You know,
it's tough.
I understand that, but I kind of feel like maybe there's a way to use the brew to turn the day around.
And I like
that's
that too.
The magic in the brew, man.
That's cool.
You know, you can show up to work at least. In my department, I know I show up frustrated a lot. There are things that go on between the AM shift and the PM shift that we don't communicate very well. We don't see each other's struggles. But sometimes I show up to a mess, and that's frustrating. But if I can focus on the fact that I'm doing something I love, get into a groove, turn on some good music, have some fun chatting with my crew and bullshitting for a little bit while we run around and get things going, we can turn what was a frustrating, stressful start to a day into a fun reason to keep the day going while we get our work done. And I don't know, I think there's a lot of magic in beers like that. That if you show up to work miserable because the way the day started, but you sit down to do something that you love to do and you brew magic that day, that's...
Damn, dude. Hey, you're right. You're right. You know, I'm saying it with like a, what do you call it? A perspective where it's like, you know, I don't know. There's some people I believe can't or refuse to do that in the moment. They can't turn it around. So I'd rather you just stay home. But what you're saying is like, you know, right? Because I've showed up, you know, tired or grumpy or I had heavy things in my life outside of work.
Yeah, there are days we can't turn around.
Absolutely. But you know what? You're right. Like, I'm not going to lie. Every time I hit that I will put on, if I'm in the brew house by myself, I'll turn on my music or whatever music I want to put in. Like I switch it up. And especially like, for example, whenever we brew an Italian Pilsner, I have Italian music on, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, you know, it's awesome. Like, I'm always doing this. I'm walking around with my hands up in the air. And by the time I'm mashing in, I smell the mash. As soon as it hits my nose, man, I'm like, fuck. Okay. Yeah. It's go time. But if I lose track of what's happening, then yeah, you're right. It's you got to brew with love, man. Whatever you're making, it's whether you're making a soup that night or dinner or lunch, it's gonna be made with love. It's not. It's just, man. It's different. It hits different, and that's what art is. Because, you know, we were talking about concerts not so long ago, and going to the concerts where the artists like trying to showcase like, this is, I'm just making the music for the love of making the fucking music.
Yeah,
and you're sitting there, you're like, yeah, I'm feeling this right now. I'm high as life with you. I'm there enjoying this high moment, you know? Yeah. And the same thing with beer. Like, my favorite beer, everyone's like, what's your favorite beer? They're like, well, it's style. I'm like, you know what? It's situational. I love a good, like, you know, I can sit here and be like, oh, I love a light lager in the summer and like a dark beer in the winter, right? Whatever. But my favorite beer are the beers where my friends made, and they're like, I have a fucking amazing story. This is the beer. I had an idea for this beer. I want to make this beer. I made this malt, this yeast. I went and got the blah, 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 blah. And they just sit here and tell me a story of like, I had to do this, just to make this beer. Can you try it? Fuck yes, I'll try it. What's the story? Tell me the story again, because it's fucking amazing. And that's different than, hey, yeah, let's go get a Coors or some Pacifico, which I'll fuck with, right? We talked about this. I love me a good Coors Banquet, but it just tastes like Not to say that those brewers don't put love in what they do.
Right.
But, man, now you're right, dude. So, being in the craft industry, being in the position you're at you're at one of the biggest breweries, production facilities in Utah.
Right.
What's that like, man?
Oh, man, it's another juggling act. You know, everyone that I work with got into this industry because they wanted to work in craft brewing. Very recently, the Canarchy Collective was purchased by Monster,
big
energy drink provider across the world, and they're very corporate. Craft breweries aren't traditionally very corporate mindset. So we've had to make a lot of concessions to make sure that, you know, we still have some fun, creative freedom. But our main production is starting to focus on the big sellers. Like our Juicy IPA is one of the biggest selling beers in the state of Utah. I think it is still the biggest selling IPA in the state. And that's, huge bragging rights. Great thing to have accomplished for our brewery. But we work with a bunch of people that love beer of all various recipes and styles, and we want to keep playing and having fun and being experimental. Yeah. And, you know, when we go to competitions, we don't want to just have the top five best sellers in a can that we can put in front of judges and see what happens. We want to be able to, experiment with everybody else and try new things, try old things. So one of the coolest things that we've been able to do since Monster kind of changed our focus a little bit in main production is we got this cool little, I think it's only like a 15 barrel pilot system, just a nice little fun small batch system that we can work with.
Right. And
we're all excited to start pumping out some experimental, unique little recipes.
Yeah.
We're all so excited about that.
That's really cool.
And even though, you know, we have to get into the corporate world with the Monster purchase, we're trying our hardest to keep our roots in craft and creativity and
that
artistic expression.
So do you see that? I know you're speaking for the team, but do you see that? Let's take out management. Let's take out corporate. In the Squires and Wasatch family right now, that's it, at the facility. Do you guys all believe that?
Oh.
Is that a loaded question?
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you guys truly believe that, you want to take the craft out, then I think you guys can still thrive and it's doable. But if you have that one weak link, it's going to be tough, man.
It's definitely a little bit of a loaded question. We have our ups and downs.
Like most families, right?
Yeah. And we have a lot of current struggles that we're trying to figure out how to find solutions for. It's the vast majority of people there love the people there and the work that we do and the product that we produce. And as long as that's the focus, I think we're, at least the majority of us, are willing to keep sacrificing until we find the other solutions.
I like that. And you're not going to give up on each other. And that's respectable and admirable. I like that about you guys. Because I told this to my Uinta friends too, is our Uinta friends, is just because you guys are big or bigger than us, right, small 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 10, 12, 15 barrel people, doesn't mean you're better or you have been forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really, really frustrates me, is there's this kind of disconnect between, like, you know, the Uinta, Squires, Wasatch, Red Rock, kind of bigger facilities.
Yeah.
And then there's the rest of us. It's kind of like, there should be no segregation, dude. I should celebrate what Helper Beer and, you know, Heber Valley and Polished Kings is doing just as much as I'm doing with Uinta, Red Rock, right, and the rest of them, right? So, and I'll advocate this. The same individuals who are at these bigger facilities better get their asses to be seen at these other, you know, other places. If there's a Firkin Fest happening, then at least come attend it. I don't care who's right. I mean, hopefully it's Roja. Roja better figure this shit out and do the Summerfest. God damn. But, you know, like, what bothers me right now is, I'm letting this bother me. It shouldn't bother me. But what bothers me is everyone throws events on. I don't care who you are. You could be Level Crossing. You could be Squatters. You could be whoever. You know, you're going to throw an event on, and you want everyone to support you. But when the chips are down and someone else is throwing an event, where's y'all asses there?
Right.
Like, where are you?
Right.
Like, if we could have a Squires and Wasatch event at the tavern, but then I better have that same support in Logan or in Utah County, you know what I'm saying? So it's really hard because everyone wants people to come support them, but then there's always an excuse to go support others.
Well, and I do feel like, especially at the Squatters Wasatch facility, because we're so big and we have so many people that are just so passionate about this industry and craft brewing as a whole, we're pretty good about having at least a person or two out there, you know, at most events, but it, we and everyone else can always be better about the camaraderie of it. And that's what impresses me the most about the brewing industry. How many industries out there are just competitive? There's no friendly to the competition, but in this industry, we share, you know, we share product, supplies, recipes. You need some ingredients and you're not going to get your order for a while and you need them before your shit goes bad in the fermenter. Yeah. Someone's out there willing to help. And that's, what other industry can you say that about?
I don't know, because I have a hard time believing Walmart reach out to Target and be like, hey, yo, I'm short on...
I'm short on dish soap. Can you send out a pallet?
Yeah, go fuck yourself. Yeah, I don't know. I can't see it, man. But you're right, and that's why I think it's so beautiful, and I don't want to ever fuck it up. And so whether you love me, hate me, love what I do, hate what I do, or you know, us as an industry, love what we do, hate what we do, as long as we're leaving that passion and that camaraderie, that familyhood, like... Yeah, I just invented that word, familyhood, you know. You can't steer clear. I mean, you can't go wrong. We talked about earlier, you know, we were talking not too long ago about what's it like to be heard, man, you know. And if we just, what do you need? You know, like, just reach out to another brewery. What do you need? Like, there's some breweries right now that are struggling.
Yeah.
And I feel like they are just trying to figure it out, and no one's reached out. But they've also not reached out. So it's like, what do you do in that situation? Do you just keep your mouth shut? Do you just say, like,
it's a weird thing, because it's kind of like that friend that you see is struggling but keeps saying they're okay. And, you know, you want to encourage people to have that wonderful experience of figuring it out and that boost to the self-confidence that comes with it, but you don't want people to struggle too much. And when do you step in? When do you say, hey, bud, I know you're struggling. What can I do to help?
All I can think is, hey, instead of telling you, hey, I see you're struggling with this, let's go with, like, hey, homie. Hey, Bertrude. That's our friend's name. Hey, Bertrude, just go have a pint. And maybe after a couple pints, maybe something will be talked about or resolved. You know, we talked about sometimes frustration happens at work, and we can have after work, we can have a beer or two and just kind of hash out whatever the hell we got to hash out, you know? And people do deserve to be heard. And I do believe that. That's why I do what I do, you know? And I also want those friends, though. Like, Bradley, if I have something in my teeth or something dangling from my nose, like, I need to be like, hey, homie, you got a bat in the cave. Or like, hey, buddy, like, you got something right here. Like, I want that friend versus the friend's like, yeah, I'm just going to let him rock it.
He's pulling it off.
And so I feel like that's kind of weird, because, like, at what point do you be like, hey, man, you got something hanging from your nose. It's kind of gross. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's what I like to do is, hey, this is what I do. And I don't know how, and I'll listen to whoever's opinion, right? But let's say you have something in your nose or your fly's down. I'll come reach in, like, I'm giving you a hug and be like, hey, man, just want you to know you got something in your nose. I love you. Mwah. You know what I'm saying? And that's it. Because you don't have to point them across the way and be like, hey, motherfucker, you got something in your nose. Like, you know what I mean? That's kind of embarrassing. So I think the way you can do it, like we talked about, is like, hey, you want to go share a pint over at Keto's real quick? Or, you know what I mean? Or whatever. Let's go to Desert Edge. Let's go have a pint. Let's go try a new, you know, whatever Matt's got on, you know, I don't know. Or let's go to Scion. Or let's go to Mountain West. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's go get a pint. Because, like, there's something said about, you're talking about, you know, for thousands of years, we've been making this delicious beverage where societies and communities were all like, that's camaraderie, man.
Yeah.
Just a pint. How simple is that, man? I don't know how many times you can have camaraderie over a stapler or, you know, a computer or a phone, for Christ's sake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a beer? Man. Okay, you don't drink beer? Okay, I got a seltzer for you.
Yeah.
I got kombucha.
We got great kombuchas.
I got sake. You know,
we got non-alcoholic beers. some Athletic is making some absolutely incredible non-alcoholic beers.
Sure.
And it is so cool for the friends that don't drink, who are just quitting drinking, who have been struggling with alcoholism for a long time, especially people working in the industry, who beer is a huge part of their life. They don't have to give up beer, but they can give up alcohol, focus on their health, and still be a part of the fun times, drink the beers they enjoy drinking, and feel better about what they're doing.
Yeah, and feel better within, right? Yeah, that's right. Because you went on a health kick, Brad. I mean, you were telling me you focus on your health and you're feeling way better now.
Yeah.
So what's that like to feel way better?
The craziest thing for me is realizing how shitty I felt before and didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of years, and the majority of the progress has been over the last 6 months or so, I've lost probably a little over 100 pounds. And
congrats, man.
Back pain, joint pain, things that I didn't even realize I was struggling with just melting away, and suddenly realizing, man, I'm happier, easier, because I'm not fighting against myself.
Damn.
And, you know, it's, everyone has their struggles.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important to love who you are regardless of what your struggles are and what you're trying to work on and improve on. But for me, realizing that, man, it was as simple as just changing a couple of habits, waking up a little bit earlier so that I can go for a walk or do some extra push-ups or whatever, that made all the entire world of difference. I didn't have to change all that much other than just my mentality, wanting to be healthier, and the opportunities presented themselves.
What made you have that aha of I want to be better? What gave you that drive?
I was telling you a story about some friends that I had. I got ordained to minister their wedding. In their wedding pictures, I saw myself at my biggest. It was in the middle of COVID lockdowns, and a bunch of people are getting way, way healthier and in better shape. And I was at home eating and sitting and eating and sitting.
Yeah.
I got really, really big. And in their wedding pictures, I looked at myself and I thought, the only thing that I like about myself in this picture is my smile. I have to change something.
You have a good smile, though. Well, I will tell you that.
Thank you. But, you know, it was a little bit of a bummer to look at their happiest day and think like, this is what I look like. This is how I'm going to represent myself. And, you know, I do not judge other people for how they find their happiness and what they want to put in their bodies. But looking at myself and realizing, oh, that's where I went. Mm. It was a shock to me. And I couldn't let myself continue that way.
Yeah. That's beautiful that you had that recognition, though. Good for you, man. And you're looking great, dude.
Thanks,
you're looking
buddy.
Real good. Since I first met you, like, you're still looking good. You're making progress, and you seem happier. But I think I've only met you one day where you weren't in a good mood. Like, you've always been happy, dude. You have a spirit about you, right? You're a happy-go guy, man.
Well, I've got extreme ups and extreme downs, and I try to focus more on the ups. But when the world gets heavy, I feel it, man.
And that's fine. Feel the feels. Like we talked about, you need to. I mean, we kind of got deep a little earlier, but we talked about, I really truly believe that you need to go into the darkness in order to appreciate and see the light.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're all focused on the light. We're all focused, and it's great. I love being there too. But we don't really talk about the darkness. And those are real places, and they can be real. And you can get out of it. And you're going to go back sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing is, that you can't, I don't believe you can ever just get rid of it fully. It's never going to be a thing. No. It's a yin and yang thing. It's about, like you said, just like packaging, it's a juggling act, dude. You can run that machine how many times? It doesn't fucking matter. Something's going to come awry. And when that does, hey, you'll know better for next time to handle that situation. That's the only way, man.
Well, it's funny you brought up yin and yang. I was reading this book that talked about, like, the definition of harmony, that fine line between the yin and yang, your harmony isn't just peacefulness. It's that fine line between peace and chaos, writing the crazy and the beautiful and finding the place where they meet. And that's where I try to live my life. It's, yeah, I have the really, really dark days, and sure, I don't try and run from them. And a lot of people would say this is a weakness of mine, that if you're around me when I'm going through some heavy shit, I'm not good at trying to keep that to myself. If you don't want to be around because I'm in a bad mood, I understand. Please excuse yourself, and I'm not judging you for it. But if you choose to be around me, you're going to know that I'm going through some shit, and I'm going to be talking about it, and I'm not going to try and hide that.
But if your family does love you like you say you do, they're going to be there like, hey, I got a shoulder for you to cry on.
Yeah.
And you, but at the same time, like, don't be an ass. You got this. Breathe. Right. You got this. If you need to take a minute, go walk outside.
Absolutely.
And that's a friend that should be like, hey, you got something in your fucking nose, go take it out.
Step the fuck outside, blow your nose.
Shout out to our sponsor, Sugar House Distillery. Handcrafted from grain to glass, Sugar House has been grinding for years to bring us products that are quality over quantity. Just to name a few, their single malt whiskey, rye whiskey, which is our weekday jam, their Boilermaker series, which is a rotating collab within our family, and their canned cocktails, which are so damn good and great for any to-go adventures you have this year. Located in most liquor stores across Utah, or just head over to the distillery located on 2212 South West Temple, Monday through Friday. Tell them we sent you, and they'd love to give you a tour and possible tasting. When you think Sugar House Distillery, think local and made with love. Until the next spirit, my friends. Shout out to our sponsors, Clearwater Distilling. Utah County's only distillery is turning heads and quickly making a name for themselves. From whiskey to vodka, their unique innovation transforms the norm with incredible products like their Rene Armagnac, which is an aged French Armagnac with an American rye whiskey twist. Literally one of our favorite showcasers. Or their Scandalous, which is not like Fireball. It's an actual whiskey with quality cinnamon without any sugary taste. Also, Clearwater teams up to do a monthly cigar pairing where you come and get educated on how to properly smoke a cigar while pairing with Clearwater's lovely spirits. For more information, head to clearwaterdistilling.com, hit them up on all social media platforms, or just message us and we'll get you started on the right path. Open 7 days a week, even on holidays, Clearwater is a must. See you there. Until the next spirits, my friends. Now, Bradley, you know what? I really do respect the fact that you're not just only healthy physically and you're trying to make better decisions, you know, diet and so forth, but I feel like you're also becoming healthier mentally and spiritually, which has been, again, balance. I think people nowadays see what you look like and how you look like. I'm like, okay, I got to look like a certain person. Fuck right. What you have to look like. Are you... Instead, my wife's trying to, in her business, she's trying to change the word, but stay away from the word healthy and unhealthy, kind of labely. Be like, do you feel nutritious right now? You feeling nutritional? Okay. Like, okay. Do I feel nutritious right now? I don't know. What I'm putting in my body, is it nutritional to me? She told me that. I'm like, oh shit. It's a good way to look at things.
Yeah.
Cause I can sit here and be like, do I want this whiskey or do I want this grapefruit juice? Which one's more nutritional? Well, for the soul, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
but for the body and everything else, my bidet's at home. Like, I'm sitting here like, Anyway, dude, but I do think that besides, you know, what we do as an industry and we the camaraderie we have over beer, I think that it's a misnomenclature where people are not everyone in the brewing industry is healthy. You know, I think physically, mentally, emotionally, we're like any other job. Yeah. We're just like any other people where, you know, sometimes you get those drinking days. You're like, hey, man, you got to, we get this awesome product, but we got to handle it, man. Yeah. And also, don't bring all that, you know, sometimes people bring a lot to work. Like, hey, dude, like, that's a lot, man. And if you need to talk to someone, I'm here to talk to you, but not
We also have to focus on the job.
Not over a boiling kettle or a 20 can filler, you know, we're going, 1,000 cans a minute? Like I can't. Like, dude, I have to keep five eyes on these things. Yeah. I can't deal with what Sally said the other day. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and that's actually another point is, life getting heavy outside of work gets exponentially harder to deal with when you're experiencing burnout at work. Mm. And that's something that I'm kind of, I've had a consistent struggle with on my shift in my department at Squatters Wasatch. Is we have a wild, very rapid amount of turnover. We have people that come into our shift who are kind of looking for a foot into the door with the brewing industry at large. You know, we've talked about how brewing and even cellaring have a bit more glory than packaging. People take a job in packaging so that as soon as there's a job open somewhere else, they can move. And while we encourage people to get into the industry, however,
yeah,
we feel a lot of that on our end when we have a good person that moves to another department, or we have someone that just came along thinking this job was going to be something it wasn't and then quits after a couple of weeks. There's a burden that packaging carries as the last guard at the door before this product hits the shelves, that,
right,
you know, if we've got sales waiting that our reps need to get beer to distributors, and we've got brewers with health issues and vacations that, you know, all of this trickles down to the last person pushing their hardest to make sure that this finished product can get to where it needs to get to. And a lot of the time we're doing that with the last breath that we have in our body that day.
Damn,
and
dude.
It's exhausting when you put in 3, 4, 12-hour shifts a week, and it doesn't always make it up when someone says, hey, you did great this week, you can have Friday off. Oh, I'll be sleeping all day Friday then, because I barely made it to Thursday.
Yeah. Damn, dude. You know, that's why, you know, I was excited to talk to you today, because I don't understand that part of that life in the beer. You know, I'm fortunate enough to be at a smaller brewery where we don't distribute, right, currently. So I don't know what that's like. That's why I've been taking, I'm working currently, I have Mondays off. I've been having Mondays off since about, I believe, April. And every Monday I've been going around different breweries, distilleries, and just shadowing. So I've seen different canning lines. I've seen different brewing equipment. I've seen how people brew.
Yeah.
I've seen different cellaring. I've seen so many different aspects of what goes on in the industry. I'm like, okay, I'm seeing this. But canning's a different one for me. Like, yesterday was at one of our friends, and watching their canning line, I'm like, I was just at awe. And they're like, why are you so fascinated by this? I'm like, because I don't know how to, like, this is awesome. Like, watching the, you know, upside down CO2, and it rotates in, it comes in, purges again, you know, fills the perfect line. You can adjust the line, and it has the second purge, and then before the lid goes on, it has another purge, then it has a rinse, and then you get the, I'm like, dude, I'm like, does it taste fresh? I don't know if I can know. You tell me. You know what I mean?
The best beer in the world is a can that just came out of a bright tank. You crack it, and just take a sip right off that canning line.
Damn.
It's so crisp, so refreshing, always the best flavor.
Yeah.
And I get to drink one of those every day. It's technically part of my job to taste test every single batch that I run. I have to have a beer at work. I have to.
Yeah, I mean, you're not sitting there chugging the beers, but you're trying them. Yeah,
making sure that everything is right.
You have to know the product's going out. Like you're saying, every 15-ish minutes, you have to go out and make sure that product is quality.
Yeah.
Because we talked about the passion. As the brewer, I'm fortunate enough where I get to deal with all aspects of the life of the beer, right? But I know the concept of the beer, I have this idea of what it should be like in this glass.
Right.
And the story behind this. And that's why even the bartenders and beer tenders have just as an important part of the team, because I want them to speak as passionate. Because I dedicated my first ever dark Mexican lager to my late grandmother. And that story, I want people to know, why is the beer named after this? Why is the beer this? What is this beer? Well, it's after our brewer's grandmother who just passed away. And, you know, this story. And, like, that kind of, that's like, you know, it goes back to Day of the Dead. My favorite holiday is, once you stop talking about your loved ones or your passion, they throw out the window. It ceases to exist. And that same thing is like, I want that passion throughout, the story behind all of it. So it needs to be taken care of every fucking step of the way. And if it gets fumbled at any part of it, Smell you later. Done.
Yeah.
Gonzo. In cellaring, if you don't get that yeast off in time, or too soon, or not soon enough, or
right.
you dry hop wrong, or you're introducing oxygen on in secondary fermentation, you know, you just there's so many concepts, man. The pH can be wrong. You know, I just, dude, it's so funny because all of us talk about how in the brewing world, we're always we're all plumbers, mechanics, custodians, yeah. scientists, you know, because it's the same yeah. thing. You're always continue. You got to fabricate something sometimes. You got to fix this and that.
Yeah.
You got to make sure pressures, you know, it just, it's
oh,
a.
Man. Those, the machines in my department, there are hundreds of thousands of tiny little moving parts, and it's really complicated. And every time something goes wrong in any of those machines, you know, there's maybe a couple of dozen things that we absolutely know what the problem is when it happens. The vast majority of the time we see something going wrong and we have to watch it go wrong for 5-10 minutes and try and deduce through some Scooby-Doo-esque bullshit what is causing this nonsense yeah. and how do I stop it?
Yeah.
And it's, I like to joke with the people in the brewery that, you know, it's my own little war zone back there. Every day I go to work and I am fighting a fucking battle, but I love it. It's rough.
It's like
and
strategical it's stressful, to you, though.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to find the tactical advantage to trying something new versus repeating the same mistakes. Do I just keep throwing cans of beer in the trash? Or, you know, what if I throw away 1,000 cans of beer, but then find the solution and everything with this type of beer forward is better?
Yeah. That totally is Colonel Mustard with the candlestick and the yeah, yeah. damn dude
playing Clue all over the place.
Yeah, you are you're a detective now, so I got to throw a detective in the beer industry now.
Yeah.
We have to be detectives because you think about it. If there's an issue, you have to figure out where it starts.
Right.
Right.
Well,
fix
and
it.
Like we were talking about a little bit ago with high O2 in a can or a bottle.
Yeah.
You have to track it back, and I'm not sure how things go at your place, but you know, when we have a finished product in a fermenter, it goes through a centrifuge and then right into a bright tank where it gets the final polishing steps put on it. Make sure that it's at the right O2 and CO2 levels, all the flavor profiles are right, it has the right clarity to hazy wherever it's going. And if there's anything wrong before that point, someone in the cellar is responsible or needs to figure out what happened. After that point, if anything happens to the quality, if it's not a perfect beer when someone opens that can,
I crack that can open,
it's yeah. my responsibility or my team's responsibility. And we have to be able to look from the bright tank to that final finished can and try and figure out, well, if the O2's high or if we're having any quality issues at all, where in the hell did that happen and why?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there is a little bit of a detective aspect to it, just right. trying to figure out, well, that doesn't make sense. The O2 would be that high here or not here. Where right. in the middle did that go wrong?
Yeah, because then you have, yeah. But that's where a team comes in. That's
right.
where we talked about, again, I will say this, I didn't mention this earlier and I meant to. Congratulations on you and your team winning at Idaho International Beer. I don't know if you saw.
Congrats to you and your team, too. It was so much fun to see all of the Utah breweries up there just taking award after award.
Yeah.
It's something so inspiring to be a part of this community in this state where, you know, traditionally there have been a lot of ridiculous alcohol laws that you've had to combat yep. against. And now Utah breweries are just impressing people all over the place
good.
Because we fought that fight to make sure that our beer's good regardless of what the state wants us to make.
Yeah, give us more restrictions. We'll still yeah, make kick-ass yeah. beer.
We're still going to make people yeah. the best beer they'll ever
yeah,
have.
People can bitch about it, but it's like, I'll make a session. Let's go.
Yeah,
oh, shit.
Absolutely.
I'll make a damn good. Yeah, damn well session. You know, anyway, but going off that is when you guys won, to me, I didn't picture in one individual. I pictured the team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you guys all win, especially that, like for when you went to one, especially at World Beer Cup, I watched that. I just thought about the whole team. because I have a love for so many. I have love for some of the bartenders. I have some, you know, I have love for the seller, the, you know, packaging, security, even, you know, yeah, presidents, GM, you know, all of them. And it's a team effort, man. Yeah. And when we all won in Idaho, I'm sorry, I couldn't handle. If you don't want me to lose my shit, then don't put me in the fucking middle of the fucking room, because yeah, I was just so happy because that's who I am. I mean, you know, I think it's so cool to see our family and our team win. And I wish you guys, we can all afford to bring in our entire team to those kind of events, because I feel like, I truly do think our team deserves to be there.
Yeah.
Because it's magical, man. I don't know what it is. I don't brood for awards. I don't brood for the accolades. But when unbiased other individuals be like, you know what, this beer fucking slaps. I don't know who did it, but this beer slaps. Who was it? And you're like, it was me.
Yeah.
It was my team. You know, and we did it. And it's just like, man, oh man, dude. Growing up, I think I received like a dozen participation medals. So that felt cool, I guess.
Right.
But to get like an actual medal,
right,
with my team, I felt like I was a part of something.
Yeah.
And so when I saw you guys win, and Dave McKean over there, like, you know, what a legend that guy is, man. That guy is the sweetest, most just humble. Has that guy ever raised his voice to anything?
Yes, but very particular and specific things that he kind of has a point on. So
gotcha. So it comes for it. Yeah. Don't piss off McKean. Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know,
if you pissed him off, you deserved it. Yeah, just hear him out.
But that's quality of human he is, you know. And people like that, like Dave McKean and the Libbies in the world, like, they get sometimes, I think, overshadowed because you guys are at a bigger facility,
right?
And they're not on that deck making, you know, mashing
oh,
in.
Man.
And it's like, bullshit, dude.
Well, my heart goes out to Libby all the time. She has been running that tap room through some ridiculous shit over the last couple of years. Our parking lot being closed for the last several months and just being torn up and sitting there, and people having to try and find their way around that construction zone into the tap room without a map. I don't know how they do it. And she keeps bringing people in.
Yeah.
She does everything she can to try and keep that place exciting and packed. And unfortunately, because of the issues that they've had, turnover in there has been rough over the last year. And got new faces every time you enter the tap room, which, nothing wrong with that, but it's tough on her. And
that's the thing I said multiple times, but I do believe that every facility, every brewery needs a Libby Taylor, an Erica Palmer, and a Brittany Templin. I think those three women, in my mind, are some of the hardest underappreciated women in, not just because they're women, but just individuals in our industry,
right,
that they
tough
put in
positions.
I want those, like, if I'm going to make an all-star team, those are my first three. I'm not lying.
Draft pick.
Oh, yeah, I will trade all draft picks for those three. Because those ladies, like, what Libby has done for Westside, or Squires, Westside's taproom, is, man, oh, man, I see herself. The good thing about Libby, and I'm proud of her, she drives herself baths. So anyone else that's in our industry, or anyone that's listening to this, if you're stressed or having a hard time, draw yourself a fucking bath. With some Epsom salts.
Oh, man. That's good advice.
Turn your phone off.
If I could fit in a bathtub,
homie,
I would take it.
I don't even fit in a bathtub. Bend your goddamn knees. Let's go.
Even with my knees bent, the most I can soak at once is my ass and feet.
That's fine. That's better than nothing, homie.
I can dip down and get most
That's
of my
fine.
Torso, but
God, then we'll
I need
a community bath.
Tub. That's what we need. We need, like, ancient Roman bathhouse, but brewers only, or brewery workers only.
Yes, fermentation industry. Yeah. No, you're right. That sounds hilarious. No, but, you know, Bradley, I think watching what you do, man, I just want to say I see you. And
thank you.
What you're doing and what you do at Squires and Wasatch is something that I want to learn, and I want to be someone like you that gives a fuck, works his ass off, and cares about the product as much as anyone else on the line. I'm sorry you don't get seen as much as everyone else does, but I think you're just as important as the entire team, man.
That's
beautiful.
Man. Yeah, I appreciate that.
And so every time I open a can of Juicy, I think about you guys. I'm like, thanks, man. Like, thanks for Thanks for not making shitty juicy.
I don't think we'd be allowed to even if we wanted to.
No, the funny thing is, I told you this a part of the story the other day. I went to one of the bars close to my house. Had some dinner with a friend, long story short. I wanted to get a new beer, and they had Dead Guy Rogue Ale. I'm like, oh, sweet. I brought the can over. Hey, before you crack it open, can you just look at the date? And the guy looked at me like, okay. And this was a month ago, so this was in June. He looks at the bottom, and it says 11/12/22. And I go, yeah, I don't want that. Oh, I was like, I'll take this Devastator, please.
Yeah.
He's like, do you want to see the canning date? I'm like, yes, please. And it said like 5/23/23. And I was like, yeah, I'll take that. Like, because you know what I mean? Like, man, I don't want to sit on a beer that's been, but I know it's been taken care of. You know, I don't know how, I bet Rogue does a great job. Like,
I'm sure.
You know, but even, I'm not going to have a juicy that's, you know, a year old. I just don't want it. Right? I'd rather have a fresher beer.
You shouldn't have to.
Like, the sooner I can get it off the canning lines, the fresher, like, I want that beer.
Oh, man.
Like you said, I've never had a line off the the canning line until I was at the brewery of our friends. And like, is it really that fresh? Try it for yourself, homie. Like,
while
you're
out having fun shadowing and learning from different places, you definitely got to come by while we're in operation, grab you a beer right off the line and watch our ridiculous machine for a little bit.
Dude, I've seen that when I've come in for lunch. I've seen you guys working on the side. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Sometimes you'll send like those videos of, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, to me, I get almost anxiety watching it because it's such fast paced that I'm, as a brewer, I'm kind of more slower. Like, I think the fastest thing I do as a brewer is knocking out or transferring.
I hear people all the time at smaller places, breweries, talk about their 4 or 5 head fillers.
Oh, easy, dude.
Working at like 18 cans a minute, and I wish I knew what that was like. I really do. So on average, we're working around 160, 165 cans a minute. The fastest we can go is about 180. If we've got problems with a beer, temperature, or anything else going wrong, we'll slow it down a little bit, but generally never slower than 140 cans a minute.
Wow.
And even at 140 cans a minute, that's a sprint, man. Wow. We are, and it's not just a sprint, but it's a sprint through a marathon. We have a lot to do, and it's moving so fast that we have... My specific position running the can filler includes running the machine that removes cans from the pallets and sends them through the line, the bright tank area, 3 different areas that I've got to run around and check on all throughout the run.
Yeah.
And if we're running 50,000 cans in a day, that's 5 hours of sprinting between 3 different locations, doing a couple hundred sets of stairs, running around to check on my team around the department. And man, that's probably the reason I've been losing weight the most, if I'm being honest.
keeps you spry. That's Jason's doc over at Squares. He still grains out, goes outside, takes his dolly all the way around the corner. He's like, I was like, hey, do you need it? Because I went and shadowed him one time. You know, hung out with him. He's like, I was like, you need some help? He's like, no, that's what keeps me young. Yeah. You know, I was like, this the labor stuff. Like, if I stop doing this, I won't, you know. Because Julia and Jason's doc always joke that they are some of the Utah's only true brewers, because they don't have like rakes and shit. They actually paddle in, you know. It's just so funny. I laugh every time. I roll my eyes too at the same time.
Cause he's hilarious, but he does have a crazy work ethic, that guy.
He does, yeah. And that's why he's young. That's why he looks so young.
Yeah.
He just turned 32, I believe, yesterday. No, but, you know, my question for you is, you're sprinting during these marathons, right?
Right.
What do you do for your team?
Oh, man. I do my best to keep morale high, keeping a light attitude, goofing around with these guys. Even when we have a stressful workload and we're working our asses off and sweating for 8 hours, you know, even if we have every reason to complain about the workload that we were handed or any number of issues with the day, I like the camaraderie aspect of, you know, yeah, this sucks, but we're going to get through it together. We're going to laugh about it and we're going to bitch about it until we're done with it. And then we're going to go home to our families and loved ones and we'll be all right.
Yeah.
And every now and then I really like to treat these guys to a little something special, order in a little food and sit up in the offices, just the few of us, bullshitting about our stresses and worries. Good, man. Talking shit about our managers from time to time.
No, but it's that camaraderie.
Yeah.
And the other word you use is communication.
Right.
I think that's huge, because if you guys talk to each other and talk about what's going on as a team,
right.
And you talk from the brewer's standpoint all the way to the cells, like if the communication is flowing, I don't see why you guys would fail.
Right.
You know what I mean? In the industry, we talked about, you know, kind of the, doesn't really get glory in that packaging side. So as from the Utah fermentation family, what support look like for you guys?
Ooh, another loaded question, my friend. You know, we at the very least, I do feel like, not intentionally, but there is a little bit of a lack of support sometimes in packaging, especially on PM packaging. Managers generally work day shift, come in from a 9 to 5, if not a little bit earlier. They work hard as well, but it does seem like when we're the only ones in the building, it's just out of sight, out of mind for a lot of the rest of the people in the brewery.
Yeah.
And there are nights where we'll be there until 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, busting our asses to get shit done. And we hear a lot of compliments from managers about the department and about the AM shift and about their accomplishments, because they're standing there watching them. They come down from the office and they see that. It's very rare that someone comes down and sees us kicking ass and gives us a pat on the back. Mm. And we feel that. Mm. And that's kind of why I feel like it's a lot of my responsibility as the lead on my shift to make sure that, you know, my guys are hearing those congratulations, if not from someone else, from me, giving them morale boosts and getting them little, you know, special meals from here and there. Just trying to make sure that if nobody else, they know I appreciate them. We're in this together. And I know the managers have my back. I talk to them all the time. I go upstairs to the offices and make sure they're hearing my complaints.
Yeah.
But
damn, dude.
I like to make sure that I couldn't do this without my crew. They're stellar, man. I work my ass off, and I'm a fairly smart guy. I feel like I've learned what I've learned in this industry pretty quickly, and I'm pretty good at what I do. But just me in there, I'm dead in the water. I'm nothing without the guys that I've got behind me, and they are some incredible guys.
Hell yeah. Who you want to shout out, dude? Who's on your team?
Oh, man. Mr. Dan Mischke is... Jesus, he is one of the coolest guys in the world. I've seen him lose his shit maybe once or twice, and well after he should have. His patience is incredible, and his work ethic is impressive as all hell. Austin Riggs, guy that was in my department until just a little bit ago, moved over to the brew house. The 22-year-old kid I was talking about,
just
one of the most impressive 22-year-olds I've ever met. And if this kid keeps it up, he's going to be a legend in the industry.
Cool.
Absolutely. And if not for those guys, the last 6 months of my life would have been a lot more difficult and a lot less fun.
Yeah. Do you still enjoy what you do, Bradley?
Yeah. Yeah. I find reasons to complain about it, valid reasons to complain about it from time to time, but I do love it. It's a weird, unique, masochistic sort of love.
What do you want to be known for before your days are up at Squires and Wasatch?
That I really, really cared about the people and the product and that place. I hope that everyone there that I've worked with... never questions how much I cared about them and what we did together.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's like, you're the biggest hearted dude that I've met in quite some time. And I always love your hugs, man. You give the best hugs. And you do have a gorgeous smile, dude.
I love giving them out, man.
Your smile is ravishing, I'll tell you what.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
But, dude, if there's anything that you need from this industry, don't be afraid to reach out. If there's anything that we can do, if I can do, dude, we got your back, man. I got your back. I fucking love you. Thank you so much for producing and packaging fucking stellar beer, motherfucker.
It's a pleasure, man. It's an absolute pleasure. Cool. coolest thing I've ever done with my life.
Oh, I love that, dude. And let's go have a pint, dude.
Yeah, let's do.
Sound good?
Thanks, man. This has been a pleasure. Thanks for sitting down and chatting with me.
Yeah, really, dude. Thanks for wanting to be heard, I guess. Thanks for trusting me with this. And I hope everyone has, you kind of set the example. Just, I'm not scary, dude. Just come sit. I mean, you're like, I have nothing to talk about. Dude, we've been talking for over an hour.
Time flies.
That's what I'm saying. So, dude, you are important. You do matter. I give a fuck about you. People give fucks about you. You are great. Everyone loves you, man. I've never heard one bad thing out loud about you.
Some whispers, I'm sure. Some deserved whispers.
But Bradley, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it, and I love you, man.
Happy to be here.
On that note, my friend, until the next beverage, huh?
Cheers.
Cheers. This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. Find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, Twitter at The Tastemasters, or on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, DM us for any questions, or leave a review. Tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.